Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 139 for our Old Testament reading this evening. Psalm 139. We'll be reading verses 1 through 18 of this portion of God's Word. It was last Lord's Day that the Lord showed unto us, His people, His blood-bought people, that we cannot escape from Him, from His knowledge of us, from His nearness to us, and from His fashioning and directing of us. And tonight we want to spend time contemplating verses 17 and 18 of this psalm. As we prepare to hear the word of God, let us pray together. Merciful, loving, and faithful Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You that You are trustworthy. We thank You that all of Your promises can be trusted. And we thank You and we praise You that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of Your promises to us. In Him is life. In Him is truth. In Him is the way unto You. And we worship You tonight and thank You that You are the one who has given us Him. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the one who speaks to us from heaven. And so we do ask now that we would receive what You have to say to us, that we, being stirred by Your Holy Spirit, enlightened in our minds, might have understanding of Your Word, but not just understanding in our minds, but that we might have hearts which indeed are inflamed with desire to know You, to love You, to trust You, and to follow You. And so, our gracious Savior, hear our prayer. We pray these things in Your name. Amen. Psalm 139, for the chief musician, a psalm of David, beginning in verse 1, this is God's holy and inspired word. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from You, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to You, for You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with You. Having heard God's word, what is your response? Amen. Dear people of God, you can think with me of having a beautiful dream. Maybe it is a dream in the middle of the night, or maybe it's a daydream. But a beautiful scene is in your mind's eye, and then suddenly you are jolted awake and no longer in that beautiful dream. Indeed, the beautiful picture fades and fades fast. You would like to return. You would like to return to that beautiful dream, but it is gone. The wonder and awe of that scene simply fade away. But as we come to God's word tonight, and as we particularly take some time to meditate on verses 17 and 18, we see that the God who discerns our thoughts in verse 2 is the one who has thoughts of his own. Thoughts of his own towards us, towards his people. And this should cause us to stand in wonder and awe that God would think upon us, that God would think upon you, that God would think upon me. And so tonight, as we spend time looking at these two verses together, we see that God's children, those who have been freely adopted into his family by God's grace in Jesus Christ, that God's children should stand in wonder and awe. Why? Well, you should stand in wonder and awe when you consider the value of God's thoughts towards you. That's what we see, first of all, in verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Here, the value of God's thoughts towards you should cause you tonight to stand in wonder and awe. We can look at the words a bit more specifically, your thoughts. What here is in mind as David writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Your thoughts. Well, this idea of thoughts isn't merely God thinking, but it is his purpose, his design, and his intentions which he has towards you. Your thoughts towards me. And in the original language, this is pushed to the front of the sentence. Towards even me, you have these purposes, designs, and intentions to make me, sustain me, preserve me, provide for me, and yes, in your Son, even to bless me. Your thoughts towards me, especially me, even me, who is so insignificant and unworthy of the least of your thoughts. Your thoughts towards me, how precious are they? How valuable, like a rare treasure they are when I consider how weighty and how magnificent they are. This word which is translated precious is a word which describes many of the materials in God's Old Testament temple. The materials were precious. They were precious because God was indeed worthy of the best, but not just because God was worthy of the best, but because he, in his precious presence, would dwell in the midst of his people in that house, in that temple. And God has precious thoughts towards you. You who indeed are living stones in his temple. There is, as it were, almost an exclamation here. They are precious, magnificent. They are beyond any answer as to how valuable they are. And so tonight, if you are a child of God, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should stand in wonder and awe when you consider the value of God's thoughts towards you. Psalm 36 and verse 7 tells us that God's loving kindness is precious. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, we're told that the cornerstone which God places upon which we are built is precious in his sight. And that cornerstone is Christ. Isaiah 43 and verse 4 tells us that God's people are precious to him. And how precious are his thoughts towards us. This is the believer's treasure. As Charles Spurgeon said long ago, David is not alarmed at the Lord's many and valuable thoughts towards him. On the contrary, he is comforted and enriched. It is a joy worth worlds that God should think upon me. Do you believe that? Do you consider that tonight? Do you see why you should stand in wonder and awe? How this should astonish you who are so insignificant, so small, so unworthy? Our thoughts concerning God are precious. But if that is true, how much more precious are His thoughts concerning us? And I might note in passing that this rebukes the unbeliever who thinks little of God's thoughts, who thinks them to be a waste of time to pause and consider. Why would I want to do that? That's useless and pointless, says the unbeliever. Oh, it is not useless and pointless to ponder and to think upon God's thoughts towards you. What does God say in Jeremiah chapter 29 about His thoughts towards His people who had suffered greatly underneath of His chastening hand, His people who had been sent into exile and had indeed seen dark days? It's in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 that God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you when you think upon His thoughts towards you for good." And so tonight, God's children, you who indeed are trusting in Christ, should stand in wonder and awe when you consider the value of God's thoughts towards you. But secondly, you should stand in wonder and awe when you consider the vastness of God's thoughts towards you. Not just the value of those thoughts, but the vastness of God's thoughts towards you. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." How great are their heads. And here, God, as it were, points out that His thoughts can be categorized and can be summarized, and the greatness of even the heads of every category are unable to be fathomed. And if that is the case, how unfathomable are the particular thoughts which He has towards you personally? Consider God's thoughts towards you as your Creator, as He decided to make you and to give you life, as He indeed provided you with a body, as He gave unto you the breath of life. Consider God's thoughts towards you as your preserver, as the one who sustains you moment by moment. Consider God's thoughts towards you as your Redeemer, as the one who has sent His Son to purchase you out of the bondage of slavery to sin and servitude to Satan, and indeed to bring you into His family as His beloved child, freely adopted in Jesus Christ. Consider God's thoughts towards you as your friend, the friend of sinners. Consider God's thoughts towards you as your heavenly Father. Consider God's thoughts towards you as your comforter, as your helper. Yes, consider God's varied thoughts, thoughts of care, thoughts of pardon, thoughts of renewal, thoughts of upholding, supplying your every need, educating you, thoughts of correcting, purifying, and perfecting you, and crowning it all, thoughts of love towards you. Towards you, or as the psalmist puts it, towards me. Even me. His thoughts are abundant, just like His redemption. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. And just as His redemption is abundant and incalculable in terms of its greatness, so are His thoughts personally towards you in Jesus Christ. Consider the timing of God's thoughts. They are from eternity, from before time began, and from before the time you even existed, He was thinking upon you. Consider Consider that His thoughts are continual in the presence. You are never out of His mind. You are never forgotten, but you are always remembered. Consider God's thoughts with regard to the future. What are His thoughts towards you for the future? Forever and into the future, His thoughts towards you will never be ending. We just sang, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And indeed, this will be the case for all of eternity. Day after day after day, forever, new thoughts, which God indeed manifests to us because of His great love for us in Christ. And consider the amount of God's thoughts, the vastness of His thoughts. How does verse 17 and 18 put it? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Now, I don't know if any of you have gone to the beach. Maybe you've gone over to the coast and you go to the beach and you find sand there and you get a bucket and you fill it up with sand. Now, maybe you've got a really big bucket. Maybe one of the children here have a large bucket where 1 cubic foot of sand, that's 12 inches wide by 12 inches long by 12 inches deep. You have got a big bucket and you put sand in and you pack it down in there. Do you know approximately how many grains of sand are in that bucket? Have you ever tried to count them, children? One by one? Well, it's estimated that in an average cubic foot of sand, there are approximately 1 billion grains of sand. 1 billion grains of sand. Now think with me. Think with me. You go to the shore, and there you are on the beach, and here is a beach which is a mile long, and it's 20 foot deep. That's not a very big beach, but 20 feet and the sand's a foot deep. How many grains of sand are on that mile-long beach that's only 20 feet this way and 1 foot deep? Well, 105.6 trillion grains of sand. It's estimated that of all the sand on earth, there exists 7.5 sextillion grains of sand. Now, there are some engineers here, and they may know what a sextillion is. I did not know what that was before I looked it up. That means the number 75 followed by 17 zeros. I'm just going to tell you that's a very big number. Okay? But here, what do we read? What does God tell us? If I should count your thoughts towards me, they would be more in number than the sand. The task of counting the number of God's thoughts towards you would be a never-ending one. Mr. Calvin says, the number of God's thoughts are sufficient to overwhelm the minds of men. And His thoughts are towards me, towards you. Verse 2 tells us that God fully knows my thoughts. But here we are told it is impossible for me to count and to comprehend your thoughts, O God. And so our capacity to even begin to grasp the vastness of God's thoughts towards us is not enough. And that's why you should stand in wonder and awe tonight when you consider the value of God's thoughts towards you in Christ, and when you consider the vastness of God's thoughts towards you in Christ. And this leads to our last point tonight, as God would call you as His adopted child to stand in wonder and awe when you consider the certainty of God's thoughts towards you. Verse 18 again, if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. What does that last phrase mean? When I awake, I am still with you. It gives the impression that here the believer, the child of God, is as it were asleep and dreaming. Dreaming a dream which is beyond wonder and beyond awe. And he wakes up. She wakes up. And finds out it's not a dream. It's the real thing. That God thinking on me is not a dream. It's not a fantasy. When I awake, I am still with you, and you, wonder of wonders, are still with me. I shall awake, and still I will be with you. You did not leave me when I slept, only for me to find you gone in the morning. No, this is no dream. Even the sleep of death will not interrupt your thoughts towards me. For in Christ, I am more than a conqueror over death itself. Because Christ has the final word, not death and not damnation. And here, the certainty of God's thoughts towards you are set forth that this is no mere dream. Indeed, if I am in Christ, I fall asleep in God's arms and I awake surrounded by them still. Your thoughts surround me at all times. I may forget you, O God. But here I am assured that he never forgets me. You remember what the prophet Isaiah said. The Lord speaking through him. A mother may forget her nursing child, but I will not forget you. I have engraven you on the palms of my hands. This is our God who thinks upon us who are so unworthy, us who have failed to have warm thoughts towards God and instead have had cold thoughts towards God. Us who indeed have had hard thoughts towards God. But he thinks upon us in Christ with thoughts which cannot be numbered, which are certain and amen. I am still with you. I'm reminded of our New Testament reading from Ephesians Chapter 3, the Apostle Paul praying for the church as the Holy Spirit inspires him to write that prayer down. And what is his request? That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know that which is impossible to know in its fullness, in its depth, in its height, in its width, and its breadth. That we would be able to comprehend the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, in Christ, the certainty of God's thoughts towards you for good are guaranteed. Outside of Christ, no guarantee. Inside of Christ, every guarantee that his thoughts are for you. I am still with you, Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Psalm 73 and verse 22 and following. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me into glory. These are God's thoughts towards his blood-bought people in Jesus Christ. How does Psalm 130 and verse 4 put it? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I am still with you. I know your forgiveness. I know your guiding hand. I know the certainty of entrance into glory. And with you is the fountain of life in your Son, Jesus Christ. And here I stand in wonder and awe that God would think on me. How unexpectedly loving, numerous, rich, and warm are his thoughts towards me. One of the hymns of the ancient church started with the words, Lord Jesus, think on me. A request, a prayer in faith. Lord Jesus, think on me. The piety of the one who wrote that hymn in the early 5th century is unquestionable. But as we hear God speak to us tonight, it is not that we need to ask the Lord Jesus to think on us. No, we need to know that he thinks on us. We need to know that the Lord Jesus dwells upon that which he loves. And he cannot take his heart or his mind off of that which he loves. And here is comfort for us. Here is encouragement for us. Here indeed is certainty for us that the Lord Jesus thinks on me, is thinking on me, and ever shall be thinking on me for my good. How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is no mere dream. This is the hope and confidence of every true believer in Jesus. Are you trusting in him tonight? Do you want to know this grand truth which instills wonder and awe? Make sure you're found in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, our gracious Savior, for your thoughts towards us, that you, the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, that you have thoughts which cannot be numbered towards each one of your children. We do pray that you would forgive us of our low thoughts of you, our cold thoughts of you, our hard thoughts of you, that you would wash away our sins, and that we indeed, in meditating upon your thoughts towards us, would be stunned, would be staggered again by your amazing grace and love, that you are Father from all eternity, that you purpose to send your Son for us, that we indeed might know that you think upon us. And so, O Lord, stir our hearts to greater wonder and awe tonight, that we who are naked before you would not be ashamed, but would indeed invite you to search us and to know us, and that we indeed would be staggered again to worship you, honor you, love you, and serve you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.